My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. Today, we try to do the same. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We invite you to share this ministry with your friends and family so that they might find the hope that we have in Jesus. We also invite you to request our monthly newsletter called A New Song. Each month, the new song contains a classic Bible study devotional from my dad's writings. To receive a paper or electronic copy of the new song, you may request it on our website at cwh.org, call or write to us. A viewer from Nebraska recently wrote, "Thank you for sending me the new song. I watch Pastor Salem every Sunday morning. It is just amazing to me all the time he was on earth. He was preaching and teaching the gospel. I am so glad I found Jesus and opened my heart." Dad's message, the greatest verse in the Bible, speaks to John 3:16, that this great and mighty God loves us. We hope it is encouraging for you today. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a special service today, a sermon today, because we're going to preach about John 3:16, the most best known verse in all of the Bible, and it has a wonderful message. So call your friends, tell them we're going to have a sermon on John 3:16. But before that, we want to read an opening by the psalmist in chapter 27, where he writes, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me, such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So, Heavenly Father, we wait upon you, and we know that at your own time you'll have your will accomplished and done. We're just so thankful we can give our ways to you and won't have to worry, don't have to fret, because we know that you lead us all the way my Savior leads me. And so today in this service, as we look at this beautiful verse of Scripture, John 3:16, "Dear Lord, bless it to our hearts and honor your name through it all. In Jesus' name, amen." And Barb has a song she's going to sing, and I know you're going to like it. "Jesus will outshine them all." God bless you, Barb.
Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory, happy reunion on the streets of gold, angels, choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Oh, with glory in heaven's bright city, when I get there, such sights I'll behold. All living scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them, but Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hill. Faces a glowing land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection, but Jesus will outshine them all.
Thank you, Barb. And we'll have to say an amen to that, won't we? Because Jesus is peerless. There's no one to compare with Jesus. He outshines them all. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know Jesus personally, you're missing out the time of your life. You're losing your soul in the balance, too. But if you know Jesus, you know that he becomes more beautiful every day. And I've been a Christian now. I've known the Lord for 85 years. And Jesus becomes more precious every day, every year. Oh, put your faith in Jesus. Well, we want to read some letters. Thank you for your letters. And by the way, we'll be reading from John chapter 3, if you want to locate that. But we just thank you for the letters, and it helps us because then when we're preaching, we'll kind of know maybe where you're thinking, where you're coming from. And then another thing, as I mentioned last week, when we give your name and some of your needs, that goes all over the world. And people all over the world are praying for you. And who wouldn't want that? And so you just write to us. We just love to hear from you. And so our first letter today is from a prisoner, a man in prison in Buffalo, New York. And he writes this: "Fortunately, I've been given a large study Bible, and I'm reading it daily. Thank God I saw your program on TV. And of course, moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm humbly requesting your prayers. Please send any Christian literature that you all have prayed over, wherefore I can read and reread it. Thanking you in advance for your prayers and whatever else the Holy Spirit permits in our Lord and Savior's name. Sincerely, prayerfully, and then P.S., absolutely astonishing, extraordinary work of God. Thank you, amen." Isn't that nice? And, well, we send literature now. We send a book. We have a little booklet, and it is, "Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation?" Absolutely not. And we send this out on a free will offering basis. And so we're sending one to the prison. We send a good number of the prisons and hear from a lot of prisoners, and we're always happy to hear from them. And it doesn't matter where they are. The Holy Spirit is there, and he's just as powerful and strong, God, loving and helping them wherever they are. Only God could do that. Here is N.M. Claw, Washington. "Thank you, Christian Worship Hour staff and crew, and Pastor Salem, for all you do for me. Since the passing of both my only children, you have gotten me through. As always, our dear Heavenly Father brought me to you. Bless you always." Now, here's a dear lady. N.M. Claw, Washington, has two children, and God has taken them home. And so we pray for this dear lady, and she'll see them again. If they're children, they belong to the Lord. Whether they accept Jesus or not, they belong to the Lord. And once you get the age of accountability, then you have to decide. And she has her faith in Jesus because she's trusting him, and they'll all be together again. So just pray that God will comfort her heart. Wouldn't that be nice? All of us pray for this dear lady in Washington State. Superior, Wisconsin. "Jesus is always with us, helping and supporting his believers. That is also what your program does, since you're working for him. Nothing is a crisis when Jesus is in your life." And I underline that. That's something I need to remember, and all of us need to remember. Nothing is a crisis when Jesus is in your life. He's in charge of things. He'll take care of it. It may seem like it's the end of the world. It may seem like a loved one taken, maybe an awful experience, but you just lean on Jesus. Put your faith in the Savior, and it isn't any crisis with Jesus. He'll see you through. He loves you. He'll carry you through. Harrisburg, South Dakota. "Hi, I love listening to Christian Worship Hour. It is my main church. It is my God's source. It is my Christian food. God bless all of you that make this ministry possible." And I think this was for an elderly person. I can't remember. But I know we have a lot of people that can't get out. They're shut-ins. and or they're in the nursing homes and they can't get out to their church. And so we become their church. We're honored to do that. Now, if you're able to go to church, you ought to go to church. Don't substitute a TV program for church. But find a church where they're preaching the Bible and where they're true to God. And if you can't find that, get a friend and have a little Bible study. And then stay watching with us. Here is Duluth, Minnesota. So appreciate your ministry. I was in church from my youth and never heard you could ask Christ into your life. God was only at a distance. I'm so glad you share the light and truth of a personal relationship with Christ and how that to have that every time you share God's word, you're in our airtime. So many need to know that God personally cares for them, no matter what condition they're in and how to come to him. God bless you. And well, that's exactly right. And as we tell you over and over, sometimes I get letters and they say, I've committed sins and I don't think God will ever forgive me. Well, the grace of God is greater than all of our sins. And when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he paid for the sins of the world. And as John tells us, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And in the book of Hebrews, God tells us, if their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And you say, I don't know how God could ever forgive me. I've done such terrible things. I sinned against light, and I just wish, I'm sorry for my sins. Well, you just ask Jesus to come into your heart. And another thing, don't try to clean your life up and say, well, I'm going to be a good Christian, then I'm accepting the Lord. No, you don't do that. You accept the Lord just as filthy and dirty as you are. You come to Jesus and ask him to wash you clean in the blood of the Lamb, and he'll cleanse you, and he'll help you. And then you can start working on your habits or whatever it is you might be battling. But then you'll have the Holy Spirit to help you, and he'll never give you more than you can bear, and he'll help you have a victory. Oh, that's the glorious preaching of the gospel, that God, there's hope for everyone. No one is beyond hope except those who die. After death, there's no hope. It's all settled. The love of God stops at death for the unsaved. For the Christian, it goes on forever and ever. But the love, God loves you, and all of your sin, he loves you. But that love's going to stop when you die, because after death, the judgment is what we're told. And so you come to Jesus now, and you'll have that love forever and ever. Here's a letter from a mother. Her son is in prison. She writes, a mother called our office this week with a wonderful praise report. Her son is in prison, and she has been sending the new song newsletter to him. She was thrilled when he called to tell her he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. She's grateful for the role of the new song played in her son's salvation and joyfully said, this is the very best Mother's Day gift I ever received. Thank you, Pastor Salem and the Christian Worship Hour. You say, what's the new song? Well, the new song is a little devotional that we put out every week, every month, a new one every month. For the month of July, the new song is about the power of an endless life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he does for us, the power that he has there available for us. It's a special little study. It also has all the sermons we're going to preach the month of July. It has the text so you can look it up and see if I'm staying true to the word. It has excerpts from a lot of letters from people that you just will be thrilled if you get this. And so you write to us, and I'll give you the address in just a minute here. But you just write ask for the new song, and we'll be glad to send that along. As a matter of fact, we also have two little books. One is on Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not, never. And the other is one about can a suicide go to heaven? And if a Christian is a suicide, yes, they'll go to heaven. Now, these cost us, and so we're asking you to send a donation as you ask for these booklets, but they're all available to help God's people. Here's one from Fort Myers, Florida. Dear old-time preacher man, Boy, she's got my number. She said, 995. She should have said, old preacher man. And my husband and I listen to your program each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. My husband is going blind. It's getting very difficult for him to get around. We both love your preaching. It reminds us of the way preachers used to preach. Well, we're the old hellfire guys. And boy, we just preach it. And God, if Jesus preached it, we preach it. Now you get some fancy new ones now, and they'll say, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't want to scare people. I'd scare them to death if I could get them to turn to Jesus. And Jesus preached, he told us over and over that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and the decision is yours. You decide. You're on your way to hell, and you decide if you're going to go to heaven. It's all your decision. Nobody can do it for you. And during the service today, we're going to give you opportunity when you can pray and just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sin, and I'll live for you the best I can. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. You just talk to him. Don't get fancy. Just talk to him. And he'll come. He says, I'm standing at your door, and I will come in. Any man opens the door and says to come in, I will come in. I'll come into your life. I want to come into your life. He died on the cross to pay for your sins so he could come into your life. But he can't come in unless you ask him in. That's just the way God has said it. He's not an intruder. He's not going to knock doors down. He'll knock at the door, and you have to open it. I hope you're doing it right now, right this minute. Make that prayer. One more letter here from Ada, Minnesota. I ask God to come into my life. Now I am on the right road with God. Now truly believe in God. I love God with my heart. Can you send me information on how to start studying the Bible and how to pray to God and pray to Jesus? Now, I want to tell you something. When you pray and when you give, you make this possible. There isn't any possible way we can carry on this ministry without your help. And I'm going to tell you how you can help us. You can help us by writing to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, if you write and tell us, well, we can help you with your Christian life, and we can get you on the way and kind of give you a lift, give you some guidance. And then we want to have you help us with our ministry. And because we're not underwritten by anybody, we have to have your gifts and your prayers, and we have to have your help. And so if the God just prayed, dear Lord, should I help this ministry? Do I want to have a part in the ministry? And if he says yes, then you ask, now what? How much should I send, dear Lord? And then you can write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll be looking for your letter. I also want to mention that we have what we call the new song. And the new song will have special things in it. I mentioned it already. I hope that you'll write, and I hope that you'll take that. I think you'll like it. It's free and postpaid. And then if you wonder, well, I wonder how they're spending the money, and I wonder if they're, you know, if they're handling the money right. Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and so they check all of our money that we come in. They check how we spend it, and it's all on the level. You can count that. Whatever you send is used in the ministry. Let me give the address one more time for those on who are on shortwave radio. It's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So God bless you. Now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first. Then she's going to play, and then you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who are helping in the work. And those are helping right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. It's always a blessing to hear Jan play. It just blesses my heart, I know, and I know it does for all of you, too. Well, we're reading from John chapter 3. These are the words of Jesus. And we're beginning with the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these words that your dear Son Jesus gave us when he was here, and that he told us something that is so wonderful, and that is that you love us. And sometimes, Lord, we're not very lovely, and yet you love us. And you gave your Son Jesus to come and give his life on the cross to pay for our sins. We didn't deserve it, but he did, because you love us, and Jesus loved us. And he loves those who trust him, especially now. It's a special love for a special people. And so we pray in our message today, and in our service today, that there'll be many that will ask Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they'll come to the Savior and find everlasting life. And to those, Lord, who may know you, but they're having a hard time in life. Maybe they're on a bed of sickness. Maybe they can't get out of bed. Maybe they can't get around except with a wheelchair. And so, dear Jesus, we pray you'll just comfort them. Help them to know that you're right there with them. You know all their troubles and trials, and you'll help and bless them. And then, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. We know that they are suffering for you, even the little children, Lord, because they lose their home or they lose their parents, and they lose that they don't have food or they don't have medicine and they don't have a home anymore. Oh, my God. Help those little children and help the parents, the folks that are left behind. Those who have died for you, we don't pray for them. They're rejoicing in your presence and they wear the martyr's crown. But those left behind, oh God, help them through these days. And we know the time is going to come when you're going to say, it's the end, it's enough, and you put a stop to it all. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. So now just bless us in this service and help us to know that no matter what happens, you are there. You are our rock and our salvation. And we can have us be leaning on you at all times. In the Savior's name, amen. Jan's going to sing for us. I know you're going to like this song, Blessed Assurance. God bless you, Jan.
Taste of glory divine.
Thank you, Jan. Isn't that beautiful? We have blessed assurance. We never worry a single time. And once we've accepted Jesus, we have everlasting life, and we will never perish. And the devil can't get us or anybody else because he holds us in his hand. Blessed assurance. And, oh, I hope all of you have that. You talk to some people and you'll say, are you going to heaven? And they'll say, I hope so. I hope so. You know, my grandmother, God bless her, she trusted Jesus if anybody did. But I said, Grandma, won't it be nice to be in heaven? It'll go to, and she says, I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. Well, you can know so. Paul tells us we know that we have everlasting life because we trust the Savior. What a Savior. What a wonderful experience. Now we want to talk today about the greatest verse in all of the Bible. And do I ever love it? And I bet you a nickel you do too. My wife is here. She said, no, I shouldn't bet. Not even a penny. Well, I bet a nickel, so I'm in big trouble. But here we have John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Martin Luther called this verse the miniature gospel because there is a sense in which the whole story of the Bible is told in one verse. A man, Pastor Bruce Milne, writes, John 3:16 is the best known and most often preached text in the entire Bible. It's a masterly, moving summary of the gospel cast in terms of the love of God. I'm going to tell you, if anybody knows a verse of Scripture, they know John 3:16. So let's look at that verse, word by word. First of all, we're told that God, the greatest lover. It's the greatest verse because it has the greatest lover. The Bible opens with the assumption that we believe there is a God. It begins with the statement, God. There's a tiny few people who say that they're atheists, but the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's what God says. The psalmist cries out, the heavens declare the glory of God. And if you look at the miracle of creation, you can't help but know that there is a great God. Somebody had to make that creation. If you have a pocket watch, a wrist watch, you know there has to be somewhere, there has to be a watchmaker. The thing just didn't drop out of heaven. And so when you see all of these things around us and we can see the wonderful thing that God has given us and how he's made all of creation and made us and made DNA. You can't even understand DNA itself. And this, there has to be somebody. There has to be a master of it. And that one is Jesus Christ, creator of all the world. As a matter of fact, when you read the Bible, you'll find that the Bible will tell us it there many times over and over that God loves us and God will help us. And in John 3:16, it comes especially strong. God so loved the world. Oh, there can be no question about it. We say that God is the greatest lover because he is the greatest in and of himself. And he has such great power that he even loves his enemies. In Romans 5, verse 10, we are told, Paul says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful God, he is the greatest lover. And as he loves to the greatest degree, it says God so loved. God loves us with a divine love. And so you can't measure that in earthly terms. We humans love on a finite love. We have finite love. God has infinite love. And so it is impossible to measure the depth of God's love. And when you just think about how that he watches over us, we can just know that he cares. He cares for us in a way that nobody could ever care for us. He loves us in a love that we can't comprehend. And he's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance and all to be saved and all to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at that love, we're just amazed. We just can't put it into words. We're like Vasco Balboa when he discovered the Pacific Ocean. When Balboa reached the mountaintop and saw the great and mighty ocean before him, He simply gazed at it for a moment, and then we are told he fell upon his knees, and he thanked God for the honor for such a discovery. That seems to be something like St. John's experience when he said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he said, "Behold, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." You can't measure it. You can't figure it out. You can't get beyond it. It's that wonderful, wonderful love. And then he says, John says, behold, I cannot express it. There's no way. I cannot comprehend the love of God. The love of God is beyond me. It is beyond me. It is above me. I am speechless, he is saying. He's just saying, behold, I don't know what to say when I see this wonderful love of God. And so when we face the love of God, we are speechless. We know that that great love compelled God to give his son, his only son. They had never been apart in all eternity, past or present. There'll be no, never been apart except one time when God gave him up and his son was born of the virgin, grew to manhood and went to the cross. And on the cross took our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane, took our sins, went to the cross. And God turned his back on his own son so that Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the son hid its face. Oh, God, that's how much he loved us to give his son. And Jesus did it because he loved us. He went to the cross because he loved us and wanted to save us from our sins. And in the book of Hebrews, we're told, he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. In other words, Jesus was glad to go to the cross and die for your sins and my sins. He loved us, so loved. How can you describe it? And then it's the greatest verse because it has the greatest company is the whole world. God so loved the world. Now, what do we mean by when we say world? Well, the Greek language, it has a word, and it is called cosmos, C-O-S-M-O-S. And it can be used three different ways. It stands for the world. It can stand for the material world. It can stand for the world people. It can stand for the world system or our culture. In this verse, we're talking about the people of the world. And he died for the people of the world, and so is illustrated in John 1, verse 10. The world was made by him, Jesus, and the world knew him not, the people. See? And this wonderful Savior, the material world was made for him, and the people of the world who enjoyed the material world rejected him and put him on a cross. God so loves the world, he hates their sin. If they die in their sin, he's going to reject them. They're going to go to a crisis eternity. But he loves us so much that if we come to him and receive him as our Savior, this wonderful, wonderful Savior will take us. And this is what he does. We call it the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus that. Nicodemus didn't quite understand it. Jesus explained it to him. Now, the new birth simply means that we accept Jesus. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We ask him to come into our heart and take away our sin. And when we do that, we're born again. We were born the first time of our mother. We were born in the flesh. Now the second birth, the new birth, is of the Spirit. And he gives us a new spirit, a new nature. The old nature is that of Adam. It's sinned. It causes us to sin. That's why people sin. You take little children, you give them some toys, and by George, if they won't fight over those toys. They have that old Adam nature. It's selfish, and it causes trouble. And so then when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives us a new life, and he gives us a new spirit, and that new spirit then has a spirit of God, and then he baptizes us into the body of Christ. And that rebirth means that we're born again and we're born into the family of God. And we become a part of the body of Christ. And he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. and that process by which he takes a terrible, evil sinner with all of his sins and he washes them clean and he puts them in the body of Christ is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that takes place when you accept Jesus. And you say, well, I didn't know that. Well, maybe you didn't know that. You know, I was born in America, and I was an American citizen. I didn't know that till I got into civics class, and they told me about it, but I didn't know it. But that didn't mean it didn't happen. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, that wonderful Holy Spirit, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And he makes us into the body of Christ, and he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he gives us a new spirit, and he gives us spiritual gifts, and he walks with us, and he saves us, and he puts his hands around us, Jesus does, and God puts his hands around Jesus' hands, and we will never perish, and a Christian will never, ever lose their salvation, ever. No, I'll tell about it when I get to the end of the sermon. You got a little booklet on that. And it's all Bible verses. It's all because the Lord Jesus Christ saved us and blessed us. And it doesn't matter how we lived and how we learned, what we've been. He'll take the worst of sinners. St. Paul said that he was a chief of sinners. And God changed, saved the chief, and he'll save all the rest of us. You've all heard about John Newton. He was one who could attest to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. John Newton, when he was only 11 years old, went to sea with his father's ship, served on that ship. He began a terrible life of rebellion and debauchery. And then he went to work on the islands in the mainland of Western African coast, collecting men and women to sell them as slaves. That's what John Newton did. And then Newton became the captain of his own slave ship. And you can well imagine the horrors of capturing and transporting and selling the slaves and to the plantations in West Indies and America. It was terrible, cruel, vicious way of life. It was hell on earth. But listen what happened. John Newton came to find the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And he accepted Jesus Christ. And Jesus cleansed him of all of his sins. And like he tells us in the book of Isaiah, come now, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, washed away. And in the book of Hebrews, God says about those sins, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know what John Newton did when he accepted Jesus Christ? He went to school and he studied to be a pastor, a minister. And John Newton preached until he died at the age of 82. His eyesight was health and failing and his memory was fading, but he kept on preaching. And shortly before his death, he declared, when someone suggested that he retire, he said, what shall an old Africa blasphemer stop while he can still speak? And shortly before he died, he cried out in a sermon, my memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. And he wrote, John Newton wrote, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believe. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The greatest company, the whole world. And then there's the greatest act that he gave. And this is what he did. God loved us so much that he gave his son. Now there's a great principle here, and that is you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. You can give without loving. We do that when we pay our income tax. We give, but we don't love it. But if you love somebody, you can't help but give them gifts. and show your love to them. And that's what God did here. He tells us, this wonderful Savior, He loves us so much. He gave the greatest act in all of the world. He gave the wonderful Son of the living God. He robbed heaven, took all that heaven had, and gave Him to come to this world to die for us. It's the greatest act in all the world. And then it becomes the greatest opportunity. Whosoever believeth. Sometimes I hear people talk about what they call the unpardonable sin. Just a few weeks ago, I talked to a young man. He wondered if God could forgive him because he thought he committed the unpardonable sin. Well, now this is what it says, that whosoever, that means it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, whosoever is everybody. There are no exceptions. If there was such a thing as an unpardonable sin, you'd have to say, whosoever except those that committed the unpardonable sin. But let me tell you about the unpardonable sin. You can't commit it because it only could be committed when Jesus Christ was here. And He did some miracles and they attributed the work of the Holy Spirit to the work of Beelzebub, a dirty evil spirit. And Jesus didn't say they committed the unpardonable sin. He said you're in danger of committing the unpardonable sin. Couldn't commit the unpardonable sin if you wanted to. And so this wonderful Savior will save us. And isn't it wonderful? And then I got to thinking too, isn't it good that God didn't write in my name, put in your name? Suppose He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Harold Salem believed in Him, he'd have everlasting life. And I say, oh, goody, oh, boy, that is wonderful. I am so happy He put my name in there. And then I get to thinking, oh, now, wait a minute. I wonder if maybe, you know, since the beginning of time here, I wonder if there's been another Harold Salem. There could have been a half a dozen Harold Salems. I don't know about that. Now I'm getting worried, see, because now there are Salems around, you know. They say that there's a Salem in every city. There's a city named Salem in every state of the Union. Salem means peace, and Jerusalem means city of peace. And when Melchizedek was here, he was called King of Salem, and that was 4,000 years ago. And so I'm getting a little bit queasy now. I'm getting a little bit nervous. In 4,000 years, there wouldn't be many heralds. I don't know why there should be more heralds. I don't know why they don't name more heralds. I don't think they think that maybe the child isn't nice looking or something. There's some problem. But somewhere in 4,000 years, there's been some other Harold Salems. So which one did he mean? And what if your name is Smith or Johnson? You wouldn't stand a ghost of a chance. So what did God say? Whosoever. No question. No doubt. I don't care how many Harold Salems. I don't care how many Johnsons, how many Smiths. Oh, my God, there's many Smiths. All the world's full of them. But this is a wonderful Savior. See, whosoever means that anyone on the face of the earth can be saved. Anyone can believe. Anyone can be saved. It's your personal choice. And when you came into this life, you didn't have a choice. You were just born in a certain place. But now you can have that choice. But if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, in the life to come, there's no hope. If you're saved when you die, you'll be saved forever. If you're an unbeliever at death, you'll be an unbeliever forever. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. That is, it's settled. When you die, you're in heaven or you're in hell. Just that fast. And so you have to make that decision. See, in John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's heaven. But it goes on to say, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's hell. Now that's John 3, verse 36. So if you have the Son, you have life. If you have the Son, don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you have the Son, you have heaven. If you don't have the Son, you have hell. That's all. That's all there is to it. No change. And so now you say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. Well, I'll tell you where you're going to go. You're going to go where you choose. Nobody's going to choose it for you. Nobody say that. I hear that sometimes they say, you go to hell. Well, you can't tell anybody where to go, to heaven or hell. Only that person, that individual, you personally. And you decide, I'm going to believe in Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to believe in Jesus, I'm going to hell. Because I'm in the kingdom of darkness. I'm a child of the devil right now. Until I accept Jesus Christ, I'm not a child of God. As many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the children of God. You don't become a child of God till you receive Jesus. And so you have to decide. And you know what's happening? Right now, all over the world, the Holy Spirit is talking. And he's saying, as Jesus said in Revelation, the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him, I'll fellowship with him. You have to open the door. Jesus will never knock the door down. He will never pry the door open. He's made you as a free moral agent. You can leave this door shut, or you can open the door. You can have heaven, or you can have hell. Now, God wants you to have heaven. In 1 Peter, he tells us, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, would come to Jesus. And repentance means I'm turning from my old life and I'm going to follow Jesus and walk with Jesus. So you need to come, and the choice is yours. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have to believe in him. And then he says, shall not perish. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. And oh, I tell you, friends, we don't hear much preaching about hell these days, do we? They kind of skip over, and I don't know why. Because Jesus taught over and over about that place, that lake of fire where the devil's going to be cast, and the angels and all of the devil's followers are going to be cast. Revelation chapter 20, you can read it for yourself. He is what willing, what he wants you to come to the Lord, and so you have to just put your faith in Jesus. And I'm praying that many of you do that, see, because here, it's pointed out in this little word, but. Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall not perish, hell, but shall have everlasting life, heaven. See, he sent his Son, and so the divide is between these people. You're going to have God or Satan. You're going to be blessed or tormented. You're going to have heaven or hell. And I beg of you to come to Jesus Christ, because this tells us we'll have everlasting life. You have it right now. You don't die to get it. In John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have it the minute you accept Jesus Christ hath everlasting life. But he says, he goes on and says, and shall not come into condemnation. That's hell. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not enter into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so this everlasting life can be yours. This is life eternal. It means that we will never die. And for instance, you have that soul. Now everybody has a soul, and that soul is never going to die. It's going to live. It's going to exist forever in heaven or in hell. And so Jesus says, he says in John 17:3, he says, believe in the eternal life, that you may know that one true God and Jesus Christ, who he has sent. He wants you to come to him. But Jesus also said this, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And he's saying, Jesus is saying here, if you lose your soul, what can you do to get it back? And if you have the whole world, you couldn't get it back. But Jesus can get it back. See? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And so I'm praying today, this wonderful verse, this wonderful scripture is telling us that God sent his son. And for instance, he says in 17, God sent his son into the world to did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. John 3:17. John 3:18, the very next verse. John 3:17 says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the next verse, Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You've got to come to Jesus, and you've got to open your heart to him. How do you do that? You just say, dear Jesus, in your own words, don't get fancy, don't thee, thou, and all the rest of it. Who cares? Just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Maybe it's been some terrible sin, you want to confess it. And then you say, I sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And he'll come into your heart and he'll cleanse you. And then you say, I'll live for you the best I can. That's repentance. Repentance means turning. You turn from your evil ways and you live for the Lord. And you say, I can't be perfect. None of us are perfect, but you strive for perfection. And so you promise you'll serve him. And then you thank him. And then you tell somebody. Now, if you've done that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. To those on shortwave, I want to repeat it again. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. You write to us. And in closing, I want to thank everybody. I just had a birthday celebration. And I want to thank you all for all of the cards and letters and kindnesses you've sent. I've got more this year than I ever got in my life, and guess it's maybe it's because I'm 95. So I want to thank you. God bless you, everyone. Heavenly Father, now we just pray that you'll bless all those who've opened their heart to you. And then we pray for those on beds of sickness, those who are shut in, and those who can't get around, those who have great sorrow, are going through hard times. Comfort them, Lord, and give them strength and help them to turn to you and put their faith in you and love you and serve you. Oh, God, we all need you. We're all so feeble and frail, and you love us and you'll help us, but we have to ask for it. We have to come to you. So be with your people wherever they are and help them to know that you never leave them or forsake them, and help those accepting you to let us know and to tell others and to rejoice, because their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they will never perish. Thank you, dear Jesus. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. So I want to thank all of you being with us. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your prayers. And tell your friends about our worship service. I'd like to have them join us. And next week we'll be back, the Lord willing. And we'll be looking in the Word of God. Is there any word from God? That's what people are saying. Does God have anything to say? Is there any word from God? And we can say, oh, you bet there is. And that's what the Christian Worship Hour lives on, preaching and teaching about the wonderful Savior and the Word of God. And you can be a part of our ministry, a part of our congregation. And then we'll all get to heaven and say, hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.